Hey, welcome back to the Mark Mosey Show. And joining me right now here on the phone line, talk a little basketball, because he comes on every week, as he should. He's a great man, and he's my good friend, Billy Mims, head basketball coach at Florida Tech. Coach, how you doing today?
Mark, I'm doing fabulous. And I mean, come on. How could I not be enjoying the NBA playoffs? You know, when you got a great, last night's basketball was about as good as it gets. You got an overtime game in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat, that the Heat trail the entire game, come back, find a way to get it to overtime and win. You got a great coaching matchup in Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra, and then follow that up with the comeback kids from Colorado. The Denver Nuggets have the feel-good story right now for the NBA playoffs has to be Mike Malone, the Joker, Jamal Murray, his 50-point production, the Joker's triple-doubles, and the fact that he's a multimillionaire now. The Joker kind of reminds me of a country music song that came out a few years ago that I really liked, but it was called How Do You Like Me Now? And if you think about it, the Joker's been telling people that, you know, trapped inside him is a fat point guard, because he's posted pictures all over social media when he was a kid, and a couple of them shirtless pictures of him as a kid. He was a chunky little kid, you know, and he wasn't 7 feet tall, and he played point guard, and he was non-athletic. He wasn't quick, probably couldn't jump over a basketball, and a chunky little kid nobody thought would ever amount to anything. Well, that chunky little kid is now one of the best basketball players on the planet, and I think the song How Do You Like Me Now definitely applies to Nikola Jovic.
I've been saying this all day. I think we should just take the next couple of days off and then start the series 3-1, Lakers with the lead, and then start it.
Just do that.
Go for
it. It's going to get great. Hey, how about this? They've been in four game sevens in the last two seasons. I mean, that's kind of almost unprecedented. Over the last 2 years of NBA playoffs, to have been in four game sevens. I mean, that's just amazing. And right now, it's crazy, but they seem to play their best basketball when they're behind. And you talk about a comeback team. Okay, it's one thing to say you're down 3-1 and you come back and win. But in game five, they trailed by 19 points in the second half, came back and won. In game six, they trailed by 16 in the second half and came back and won. Last night, they were down at the half again by six and came back and won. The third quarter has been a dominant quarter for the Denver Nuggets. And, I mean, last night, Jamal Murray just took over the game. And Nikola Jokic, like I said, just put on a show. I mean, his triple-double last night, he became the fourth youngest player in NBA history to produce a playoff game triple-double with 20 rebounds. Only four guys in NBA history in 75 years as young as him have done that. And again, it's a feel-good story for 2020 and all the mess we've all gone through. The NBA shutting down their season because of COVID, finding a way to restart in the bubble, and then just watching these guys from Colorado, that you can get them down, but you can't keep them down. You might think you've got them beaten, but you can't knock them. They just, to me, the comeback kids from Colorado are the story right now of these NBA playoffs.
The Clippers had no heart, and they put it on paper. We're going to be great. And all season, even before the pandemic, they never really played like a real team. They're just, oh, we'll turn it on. We'll turn it on. We'll do load management. They got exposed. They did. And I know they're going to come up with excuses, though, but they got exposed last night. They did.
I agree completely with you, Mark. And the bottom line is your statement hit me. I thought in all three of those games, you know, they were down 19 in game five. And then all of a sudden, I mean, they just tied. And when they fell behind, they quit. It was over. You could see it in their body language. You could see it in their faces. And whereas the Nuggets never quit. They're down 19. They're down 3-1. They don't care. They just come out and like the Joker said in the post game last night, he said, well, what are you going to do about, you know, the next challenge against the Lakers? Going to be even tougher in the Western Conference Finals. The number one seed Lakers and LeBron James. And what did Joker say? Well, we're just going to keep doing what we do. We're going to play and we're going to have fun. In this playoffs, no matter whether they were down 3-1, fighting back, down 19 in the second half, their body language said they were playing hard and they were having fun. And last night, you could see it again in the Clippers. As you said, I agree with you 100%. They quit. In the second half of that ball game, once the Nuggets came out of the locker room and started their third quarter, second half run, which they've now become famous for, once they took the lead, the body language, facial expression of the Clippers were, okay, bubble's over for us. They died. They quit. And I don't have time for teams. I don't care how much talent they have. I don't hear, hey, how about this one? Their coach, Doc Rivers, became the first coach in NBA playoff history to give up multiple 3-1 leads and lose.
It's shocking. It's shocking. You know what's funny at the Clippers is, like, they've never won. Everyone's like, oh, my God, this is such an upset. I can't believe it. They've never won. They've never been to the conference finals in the history of
their
career. Never. I think what
never.
This... Okay, what this is really about, I know it's Captain Hindsight. Kawhi should have stayed on Toronto. He would have been winning the title. They'd have been the best team. They'd win the title this year. They would have destroyed everyone. But he had to go to California. So, and then I'm seeing this morning, you're like, oh, well, him and Paul George can opt out. Who cares? Opt out all you want. I want to see someone win the title this year. I'm so sick of opting out every 3 seconds. This is the bed you made. Go for it.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I'm starting to lose. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, don't get me wrong. I think talent-wise, he's one of the best players on the planet. There's no doubt about that. But if I'm an NBA owner, do I take him? No. I don't take him at this point. I don't take a 28-year-old Kawhi Leonard at this point. You know why? Because you go back to his history. When he was playing with the San Antonio Spurs, he got hurt. He didn't like what their doctor said. Mm-hmm. So his feelings got hurt. So he left San Antonio. He goes to New York. I'm going to go see another doctor. And, of course, the way the New York Knicks have been in recent history, why would you think there's any doctor in the city of New York that could give you a good, accurate diagnosis? But so he quit on the San Antonio Spurs. You know, he made up his mind long before Toronto ever came into picture that he was quitting on the Spurs. He was leaving the Spurs. So he sat out a whole year basically just saying, I don't feel like playing. I'm not healthy. When their doctor gave a diagnosis and said he could be back and playing, he said, no, I can't. And, you know, he quit on the Spurs. He quit on those fans who loved him in San Antonio.
Yeah.
He led them to an NBA championship, but he quit on them. Then he goes to Toronto. He wins one title. And after he, you know, being they're the only NBA team in the whole country of Canada, so he became a national hero there. He brought the title north of the border for the first time in history. He gave every Canuck on the planet something to cheer about. And what did he do? He quit on them too. He left and said, no, I'm going to go to Los Angeles. So at this point, and then last night in game 7, look at his numbers in the second half. He quit on the Clippers last night too. He has quit on every team he's been on. So if I'm an NBA general manager, if I'm an NBA owner, I'm thinking real hard before I'm signing him. If he wants to opt out, let him opt out. His legacy is going to be forever tarnished, in my opinion.
You could see it in these playoffs. So we're here with Billy Mims. it's a little changing of the guard. Now, I know LeBron James, who defies age and logic after a while because he's, like, amazing, but you're seeing these younger players emerge now, including the Denver Nuggets with Jokic and Murray, right? You're seeing Donovan Mitchell. You're seeing some of these guys. Hell, Tyler Hero started the next generation is starting to come up. So
hey,
go on.
How about Luka Doncic?
Luka Doncic.
Right?
He's absolutely right.
Who's going to be the next face of the NBA, you know, with some of these young stars out there? There was a time, remember, the heyday of the NBA. Let's be honest. And I know you're a Chicago Bulls lover, but the real heyday of the NBA, when it was on top of the world, was not when the Bulls were winning championship after championship, Michael Jordan. The heyday of the NBA was the rivalry between the Lakers and Celtics. And part of me says it would be a nice plan for the NBA if the Lakers and Celtics are in the finals this year, because it brings back those memories of that great rivalry. But what made that rivalry great, Mark, was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. So who's going to be the next Larry Bird, Magic Johnson? You know, last night, Nikola Jokic, I mean, he looked like the modern version of Larry Bird. Did you see his over-the-head, behind-the-back pass, no look? He's standing at the free throw line, and there's a backdoor cut to the basket. His back is to the bucket, standing away from his basket at the free throw line. He saw that and flipped the ball to him, a pinpoint perfect pass over his head. I mean, he's kind of like the combination of Larry Bird's skill and athleticism with Pistol Pete's vision and passing. I said earlier to somebody I was talking to that he might be like the combination of two great Celtics of a different era, Bob Cousy's passing and vision and Larry Bird's non-athleticism and skill set.
Let's go to the Eastern Conference. I've seen the Bam Adebayo block like 30 times, and I still don't believe it. He went with his offhand. All right, let's just go over this. You've been around basketball, you said, for four decades. You played it, you watch it, you love it. Jason Tatum is an all-star, 6'8", one of the best players in the NBA right now. Another young guy we could put on the list. He's yep. going full speed at the rim with his right hand, and Bam goes with his offhand, his left hand, and blocks him cleanly. If I went up, my arm would be ripped out of the socket. I'm not kidding around. That is one of the great plays in the history of the NBA. It was amazing, Coach.
I'll say that block is right up there with the LeBron James block in the finals. Remember when he was Cleveland and that chase down block against the Warriors. Remember that block last night really goes right up there. One of the great blocks of all time by Bam Adebayo. But I will tell you this, Mark, the funny thing was, as Tatum is going to the basket, he's trying to dunk it on him. He went in there like he was with all ferociousness. I'm going to go win this game, and I'm going to win it with a thunder dunk on somebody. I'm taking someone through the rim with me. So it wasn't just the drive. Wasn't just the dunk. It was going in there with all the power his body could possess. And Bam Adebayo comes from across the lane from the weak side and blocks it with his offhand. But technically, here's the funny thing about it. You see the beauty of the block as a fan, as somebody going, oh, my God, I could never do that. That's amazing. As a coach, I see how well Bam Adebayo has been coached and taught little things in the game of basketball. Because if he goes in there with his strong hand, his right hand, he fouls Jason Tatum. Okay? But the little thing is we teach that in a transition drill, and I can't wait to show my players that block and go over to them and say, now remember, when we do our transition defensive drill, don't we teach you to go for that block with your inside hand? Because one, you might get the block like Bam did, but two, even if you don't get the block, your body will go over them without fouling them. When you turn with your outside hand, in this case, his strong arm, his right hand, he's now crossing his body to try and block that. And even if he'd have blocked it with his right hand, Mark, the referee would have blown the whistle. It would have been a foul. So it was an amazing athletic dunk, but it was also a well-coached, technically correct defensive play that should be every coach that analyzes that game on all the media should point out how well-coached Bam Adebayo was and how technically sound that block was to save the game.
Are you happy the refs didn't call anything either and let the players play on that play?
Absolutely. There was nothing to call. It was a picture-perfect, technically correct block shot. There was nothing to call. But again, if he'd have done it the wrong way, the easy way, the way most kids want to do it, instead of doing the awkward, well, I got to go with my off hand, okay? Because they think, no, but I'm right-handed. I can get up there better. I'll get higher with my right. Yeah, and you'll foul the guy in the process. Bam Adebayo put on a defensive clinic in that 1 second, Mark.
Hey, I'll tell you, the Miami Heat defense late in that game, you know, Kemba Walker is one of the great players in the NBA, and they put him in no man's land with that those guards on defense where he's dribbling and he started doing hero ball like he's Kyrie Irving. That was fantastic. Eric Spoelstra, I know I've said this before, he's done a phenomenal job with this team. When they won that game, when they got to overtime, I said the Heat are winning this game. What do you think of the job that Eric Spoelstra has done?
Well, no offense to my old friend Nick Nurse, but ironically, the media, you know, social media, mainstream media, all the ESPN pundits and all, when the Raptors were playing the Celtics, if you're looking at that series, they were going, oh, my God, this is a coaching juggernaut of a series. What a matchup. Brad Stevens versus Nick Nurse. No offense to my old friend Nick Nurse, but I think we got the best coaching matchup available right now in Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra. And you saw that on full display last night. Stevens coached a fantastic game. Brad Stevens didn't do anything wrong. He coached a brilliant basketball game. And this game was so great, though, that it went to overtime. And in overtime, I thought Eric Spoelstra made a lot of great moves, great decisions. Defensively, the Heat were the better team in overtime. That's why they won the game.
Yeah, at the end of regulation, I think it's a tie game, and I don't know, Jason Tatum goes for some lazy three. I'm like, what are you doing? It's a tie game. You just got the free throw shot anyway. I know it's a pressure situation, Coach. I get it. It's one thing.
Here's the funny thing.
What?
I gotta hit you on that because you're absolutely right. Look at the funny thing. Jason Tatum had two chances to win the ball game. And obviously, the first one he took was a bad three. Okay? It was a bad three, not because it was a three. I don't mind him shooting a three to win the game. But it was a bad three because, one, he didn't need to take the three. And, two, he didn't do anything.
No.
It wasn't any kind of motion. He was just dribbling the ball, running the clock down. And when nothing else to do, shot the three. And it was ugly. So that didn't win the game for him. Then he had a chance in overtime on that last drive. So you can't tell me that in the back of his mind he wasn't thinking, well, I already could have won the game shooting a jump shot. This time I'm going to take it to the rack. So he tried both avenues to win the game last night. At the end of regulation, he took a bad three. In the end of overtime, he drove the ball hard to the rim and was denied on that as well by Bam Adebayo. When you think about it, there's a young player, a great young player, that's got to affect him mentally, and I want to see how he responds in game two when they come back to play, because I know he's going to be thinking about he had two opportunities to win the game. One, he did a jump shot. Two, he drove, and he failed both times.
Hey, he's a great player. He's 23. Think about his rookie year. They go game seven against LeBron in the conference finals. I think last year's second round they lose, and then This year, he's back in the conference finals. He's going to learn from this. Like, he's going to become a great player if he keeps his head on straight. So if you're a Celtics fan listening right now, this series ain't over. It was only one game, and he's the best player on that team. It's like crazy, man.
No, you're absolutely right. And remember, this is a Celtic team right now that hasn't even been at full strength lately.
No.
You know, Gordon Hayward was out, you know, with a nasty injury. Most teams, Gordon Hayward is one of their starting five. He's a critical part of their nucleus, okay? And he goes down, and yet they still win without him. They still beat the Raptors without him. So I think, you know, I still believe the Celtics are the better team. And if Gordon Hayward can return and give them something in this series, their depth gets better. Their chemistry goes back to what it used to be. There's a lot of good that can come out of Gordon Hayward's return if he's healthy enough to make a solid contribution.
I was just going to tell you, can I be 20-year-old Tyler Hero right now where I'm 20 years old and I'm a millionaire playing in Miami and like the team's believing in him and he's playing like big minutes and hitting big shots? Oh, man, please, please let me be 20-year-old Tyler Hero. Can you make this happen? Please, coach.
Please. He's got to be. You talk about living in paradise.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, Tyler Hero won't be living in some, you know, cheap property in some crowded neighborhood, some out-of-the-way place in Miami. And this is a guy that's probably living on Miami Beach in a condo overlooking the ocean. And, you know, he's got money to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with whomever he wants. He walked down the street of South Beach right now on Collins Avenue, A1A in Miami Beach. And you know what? That everybody that sees him is going to want an autograph.
Uh-huh.
They're going to take their picture with him. Every girl is going to go gaga over him. Yes, right now, it would be pretty nice to be Tyler Hero in Miami.
Don't forget this. You're good at basketball, too. That makes it even better as a fantasy for me, where you're like,
you're a cool dude. Remember, I used to live in Miami. I coached in Miami. I used to work with the Miami Heat and had a lot of good friendships on the team at the time. I can remember back in the day where we would go down, you know, several of the players from the Heat, myself, another coach. We'd go down and we'd sit at the Clevelander, which is one of the nicest bar, hotel, condominium complex on the ocean, right there on Miami Beach. And the Clevelander is a hopping place. It's in the Art Deco district of Miami Beach.
Uh-huh.
I remember a night after a game with the Phoenix Suns where we were sitting around the pool having dinner and drinks at the Clevelander. And we had Tom Chambers sitting at the table with
Tom
us.
Tom Chambers.
Tom Chambers. You remember Tom?
NBA All-Star and dunk contest winner with a mullet, Tom Chambers. I know.
And what was the other Dan?
Dan Marley.
Dan Marley. Uh-huh. Dan Marley and Tom Chambers were sitting there, and several of the Heat players, I remember Noodles. We used to call Craig Neal.
Uh-huh.
We affectionately called him Noodles. And Craig actually lived in the penthouse, one of the apartments in the penthouse of the Clevelander.
Oh, my God.
So let me tell you, when you're an NBA superstar like that and you're hanging out at the Clevelander on Miami Beach, the world is your oyster. Trust me, I bet Tyler Hero has had a few drinks and a few meals sitting by the pool at the Clevelander, and everybody around there knowing who it was, wanting to be sitting at that table with him.
You know what would be my fantasy? We'll end with this. I know this is really crazy what I'm about to say. I want to be like a super celebrity where I'm at a nightclub and I have to go to the bathroom. And then security is like, Mark has to go to the bathroom. Everyone get out of the way. And I don't have to wait in line. Or I get my own private bathroom in VIP. That'd be awesome. Because look, you've been to the nightclub. You know what happens. There's a super long line. You got to go. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Free drinks.
Wow, that too.
Yeah.
Hey, it's in the day of coronavirus, So, and you're a superstar, you know, you don't want to touch anything that the whole world's just touched.
No.
So, you know what? Yeah, you know what? You get your own bathroom. Huh? You pay a few extra, you drop a few grand and say, where's my bathroom?
That's going to be in my tombstone. Coach Mims, I just want you to know, I've been to the Clevelander. It's a fantastic bar. That's where Dan Lebatard does his show with ESPN Radio. It's from there.
Hey, it's a great place to hang out.
Yeah.
No wonder Dan Lebatard does his show from there.
Oh.
Because in the Art Deco district, it's got a great reputation.
Oh, but I'm saying this. If you're a dude and you lose hope on humanity or you've just been dumped, you go to Mango's on Ocean Drive. That's all I'm going to say, all right? Okay? Even my parents have been there, and they're big fans. It's the best. It's a family show. You go there, you'll believe in God again. That's what I'm going to tell you. Billy Mims, head basketball coach at Florida Tech. My man, thanks for your help. I'll see you around, okay?
All right, Mark. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.